Hey everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love for you to experience a Sunday morning with us, or you can always connect with us on social media. We are Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day.
After a few days, Jesus returned to Capernaum, and word got around that he was back home. A crowd gathered, jamming the entrance so no one could get in or out. He was teaching the word. They brought a paraplegic to him, carried by four men. When they weren't able to get in because of the crowd, they removed part of the roof and lowered the paraplegic on his stretcher. Impressed by their bold belief, Jesus said to the paraplegic, "Son, I forgive your sins." Some religious scholars sitting there started whispering amongst themselves, "He can't talk that way. That's blasphemy. God and only God can forgive sins." Jesus knew right away what they were thinking and said, "Why are you so skeptical?" Which is simpler, to say to the paraplegic, "I forgive your sins," or say, "Get up and take your stretcher and start walking"? Well, just so it's clear that I'm the Son of Man and authorized to do either or both, he now then looked at the paraplegic. "Get up, pick up your stretcher, and go home." And the man did it, got up, grabbed his stretcher, and walked out with everyone there watching him. They rubbed their eyes, incredulous, and they praised God, saying, "We've never seen anything like this." Well, this past week, I got an email from a community leader telling me about a new initiative that they were wanting us to know about. And I get emails like this often, and sometimes I find them interesting, and sometimes I find them going right to the delete button. But this time, the person was telling me about a new initiative that I thought was pretty important. And what it is, it's called the Love Fridge Chicago. Now you're thinking to yourself, like, what in the world is that? Well, what it is it's a little bit like those neighborhood lending libraries, those little boxes you might see in your neighborhood where you can take a book and leave a book. But as you might assume, it's for food. Now, as you hear that, you might be saying to yourself, well, that sounds awfully unsanitary to have a take some, leave some supply thing for food. I can assure you that there is a list of things you can leave and things you can't leave. And the things you can't leave are things like raw meat or fish or, of course, alcohol. They want to keep it safe. But what really struck me as being so important about what this person said in their email to me was what they were doing, but also how they said it. They had so much passion in their words. They were so excited about what they were doing. And they used this phrase in there that has just stuck in my mind. And this person just said, "We had some recent success, but you know what? I can't stop and I won't stop." Now, what this person was passionate about was ending food insecurity for people in our area of Chicago. And I'm sharing this with you because I know that Park Ridge Presbyterian, that we're also passionate about ending food insecurity. We are doing what we can through the No Contact Food Drive, through Sunday Night Suppers, working with our mission partners, because we believe that we want to do our part to end food insecurity. But I also know that we are interested in not ending just food insecurity, but all the kinds of insecurity that are plaguing our world today, that are plaguing our lives. That we know that the world is a very insecure place, that we are insecure people, and we want to help people to find their security, not in the worldly sense, but in the godly sense, so people can know that they are loved, and that people can know that they have a place to belong. We know that people are struggling with their sense of identity when it comes to feeling secure. We have all these messages bombarding us that tell us that we're not good enough, that we're not going to be able to change the world, and we find ourselves going from a place of security to insecurity. We find ourselves thinking that we are insecure around other people because we dehumanize them, and we think of them as less than human, and we get afraid when we shouldn't be afraid of them. Now, there's of course times where we should be afraid of things that will hurt us. But other people, most of the time, they're not out there to get us. But around the world, we know that these insecurities are growing and growing. And I know what is true about you and what I hope is true about me, that when we look at these things, that we say to ourselves, we got to do something about it. And that we can't stop and we won't stop. Because we want to help the world to go from a place of insecurity to security in God's love. Now, knowing that this is what God wants for us is part of what we're doing as followers of Jesus. And knowing how important this is something that is near and dear to Jesus and near and dear to God's heart. And specifically, we know this because this is what we see time and time again in the scriptures and in the stories of the people around and with Jesus and who Jesus wants us to be. Now, in particular, there was this time where Jesus was teaching in his hometown at the time, which was Capernaum. And Jesus was getting quite the notoriety because he had already done some important things early on in his ministry. He had healed a near-fatal fever for one of his friend's mother-in-law. He had healed leprosy from a man who would have been destined to die because of leprosy. He had done these things and was starting to get a bit of a following. And so this one day, he was at a home and he was teaching, and a crowd had gathered. And as soon as a crowd starts gathering, we know what happens. Word gets around that Jesus is teaching. And so the crowd gathers and the crowd gathers. Now in town, there was a group of friends. And this group of friends had a friend in particular who was a paraplegic. And they knew that if there was ever a day, if there was ever hope that their friend would ever walk again, that they needed to get their friend to Jesus, to him, so that Jesus could heal him. And so I imagine that it was like one friend heard that Jesus was there, and he went and found the other friend and said to him, hey, this is our chance. And they went and got their other friends, and then they went and they found their friend who was on a paraplegic, stuck on a stretcher, and they said, today's your lucky day. And without getting a chance for him to argue, I imagine they would have picked him up and started making their way to Jesus. And when they got there full of hope and full of optimism, that this was the day that their friend was going to be healed, they then got totally crushed because they got there and there was a crowd and they couldn't get their friend in to see Jesus. And so they had a choice at that moment. They had a choice. They could either give up and say, maybe another day it'll work out. Or they could say, can't stop, won't stop. This is the day that our friend is going to get healed. And they, of course, said, can't stop, won't stop. Now, in that moment, you can imagine also that one of the friends was like, how are we going to do this? And then another friend said, hey, I have an idea. Well, the idea was to get on the roof. And so they decided a good idea was to get on the roof, and they were going to figure out a way to get the man inside. So according to the Gospel of Mark, what happens is they take off the top layer of the roof, and then they start digging through the top of the roof. Now, in those days, they would have used natural materials to build their houses, and so the top level was probably stone or maybe wood, and then they would have dug through some mud in order to get there. And what they did was amazing. They took off the top, they started digging, and they made a hole just big enough that they could lower their friend down to find Jesus. Now, that's what's going on the top of the roof. Remember, also, there was a gathering on the inside. So imagine for a moment what was going on the inside. You were there, you were listening to Jesus, and he was teaching, he was bringing the goods, everybody was excited, and then all of a sudden you heard something on the roof. And then perhaps maybe you were like, man, there can't be anybody on the roof. But eventually it was undeniable, something was going on the roof. And then little by little, some dirt would have started falling in from the ceiling, and little by little a hole opened up. And if Jesus was still teaching at that point, he probably stopped. And then everybody's eyes were on the hole that was emerging through the hole in the ceiling. And then eventually, a man on a stretcher is lowered down, I imagine in front of Jesus. And in that moment, everybody was looking at Jesus and wondering what was going to happen next. And what does Jesus say? He says to the man, son, your sins are forgiven. And you know why Jesus says this? Because he is impressed with the friend's faith. Now, some of the guests at that moment were very upset with what Jesus just said because they were the religious scholars, the religious leaders of the day, and they turned to themselves and started whispering and said, he can't say that. There's no one that can say that. Only God can say that their sins are forgiven. This is blasphemy. And it says, according to Mark, that Jesus knew what they were saying. Now, maybe Jesus had ESP and he could be a mind reader and he knew what they said. But also, aren't there times where we know exactly what someone's thinking because of what they're how they're looking or what they're doing? So whatever it is, Jesus knows what they're saying. And he says to them, well, which is easier, to tell someone your sins are forgiven or to say, get up and walk? And he goes, just so it's clear, I am the Son of Man, and I have the authority to do both. And in that moment, you could have heard a pin drop in that room. Because in that moment, Jesus says for one and all to hear, I can say that I have forgiven the sins because I am God. And everybody in that room would have been stunned silent. And then Jesus, with everybody's attention, then looks at the man and says, take your mat, take your stretcher, and go home. And the man gets up, takes his stretcher, and walks out. And everyone there was amazed. And they started praising God, and they said, we have never seen anything like this. Now, this is the part of the message where you're probably expecting me to say something about, and this is how we're supposed to be like Jesus. But in this story, being like Jesus is awfully difficult because only Jesus can forgive us of our sins. And only Jesus can heal the lame so that they can walk again. And you know, just by hearing the story, that we don't want to be like the religious scholars in the story who are casting aspersions on Jesus, that are saying, you know, nasty things about him behind his back, as it were. So then it leaves us wondering, well, who are we supposed to be? Or who can we look to for an example in this story? And it's the four friends. It's the four friends who said, can't stop, won't stop. That's who I believe we are supposed to look to for inspiration. They had a friend who was a paraplegic, who couldn't walk, who was destined to have a life that wasn't worth living, or so he would have thought. And they saw an opportunity to bring healing, to help their friend to go from insecure to secure. And they saw a crowd that was going to stop them from accomplishing that. And they said, can't stop, won't stop. And they found a way to get their friend to Jesus. And their friend found healing in that moment. And we, as followers of Jesus, as people who claim to be part of a church, we want to be like those four men who said, can't stop, won't stop. We see the insecurities in our lives, we see the insecurity in our relationships, we see the insecurities in the world, and we have to look at them and say, can't stop, won't stop. And I know that you already believe that. I know that if you were a quitter, if I were a quitter, we would have quit a long time ago. But right now, the world needs the followers of Jesus to do our part to help bring about security, God's security, for all people, perhaps now more than ever. And so when we see the challenges of our day, we want to look to the example of these four men that said, can't stop, won't stop. We want to see the insecurities that are facing us in the world today, and we want to stare them down and say, I will do my part to make sure that those insecurities go away. I want to do my part just as those men did their part. What was their part? Their part was to get their friend to Jesus so that Jesus could do his part to forgive sins and to bring about healing. And that's what God wants us to do today as well. God wants us to do our part so God can do God's part. God doesn't expect us to fulfill the role that God has to play in all this. God wants us to do our part. And when we do our part, then God will do God's part. And when we do these things together, then the world becomes the place that God wants it to be. So in the midst of all the challenges that we're facing in our time and in our day and age, we want to remember that we are called to say, can't stop, won't stop. And to do our part so that God can be with us and God can do God's part to bring about healing and wholeness so that all of us can go from being insecure to secure. Secure in God's love and secure in God's hope.
Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.